Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's up, Buffalo Fanatics? Josh Allen here. Just wanted to say, go Bills.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy Rico back at it again. Welcome, folks. It's a new day. OTAs. We got things to talk about. Nuggets. Welcome, everybody tuned in. If you are here for the very first time, shout out to y'all. Smash that like real quick for your mans. And let's get into the show, man. And folks, for those that have been rocking with BF, salute to y'all. Thank you for the support. These are the dog days of the offseason. You guys know how it is, man. So we're trying to squeeze as much juice out of the lemons. You know what I'm saying? To try to get these nuggets. And it's a slow period, right? OTAs are here. There's not a lot that's being said that we don't know. There are very few things that'll come out that are intriguing. Right now, stealing the headlines is this D-Hop news. D-Hop to Buffalo seems to be cooling off, or maybe not, maybe it's heating up. Nobody really knows what's going on. The ultimate motivator in anybody making a decision, especially for career, it's always money. It comes down to money. Obviously, money is a big factor. Quality of life becomes something else. So you mean, what am I going to? All right, I got the bag. Now what? So D-Hop gave us the three criterias that would make him happy. But we know part of that is true, right? It sounds good. It sounds really good. But if you remember a lot of just most recently, anybody tied to the Bills. We'll just talk about people that have been tied to the Bills. That would have made sense. J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt was going to, coming into the end of his career, he wanted to be part of an organization that was a winning one, one that was, going to present him a chance to win a Lombardi. So it made sense for him to join the Bills. That would have been big. That would have been a huge piece to the Bills' building block. All those things were important to him, right? I want to be somewhere with a quarterback. Blah, 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 blah. He signs with Arizona. Are you kidding me? So, like, at the end of the day, y'all can talk, bump your gums all you want about, oh, I want a quarterback. I want management to be great. I want the defense to be, man, the bag is what matters. At the end of the day, the bag is what matters. And D-Hop, he's going for the bag. He's going for the bag. And for those that were thinking that he was going to take a minimum deal, heck no. If you have an opportunity to make money doing the thing you love, there's no sense in taking less. You're gonna ball out no matter where you go. Right now, you're going to have the choices because the Cardinals are not retaining you. They're releasing you. And whenever it's officially done, we'll find out. I think it was supposed to be for Tuesday. I don't know. We'll see. But he's officially a free agent. So it's to the point where this brother went and got himself an agent. And that is the smart move. Because at this point, and my man Pierre alluded to this, and it makes a lot of sense. When you get this at this stage in your career, and not that he's getting older, but he is. Let's keep it a buck. He's getting older. And you have to, you're going to have to, these teams want all these little caveats in there, right? They want all these little exceptions. And, well, because you're this age, we expect you to do this, this, and this, and this. And if you don't get this, that's called incentives. So this is probably going to be a very incentive-laden contract. I know you're one of the greats. I know you have one of the greatest hands, but we also know that you've had some injuries in the past. We've also known that you had to take some PEDs in the past. So a lot of things are going to be in the contract. So when you're doing these contracts on your own, you might need a little help. So he went ahead and got himself an agent. And when you get yourself an agent, The agent's trying to get paid too. So you know they're going to go for the bag. They're going for the bag. So the question is, does Buffalo have the bag? And we both know the Buffalo Bills do not. We're sitting at less than $2 million in cap space. Now, Rico, the cap's not real. We know that. We know if they want to free some money up, they can. But at the end of the day, you don't want to hinder your ability to build for the future in making a move for D-Hop, right? So I said it earlier, before all this hoopla, I was out on D-Hop because I felt all the things that come with him, based on if we had to give up picks and give up this and mortgage this, that was different. Now that he's a free agent, it's a different ballgame. But at the end of the day, you can talk about all this being a great fit, this, that, and the third. There are things to talk about. There are things to talk about. And the one thing that nobody's really bringing up, and I find that very odd, and it's I can't say nobody's bringing up. It's starting to come up very little. And I alluded to this last week, and I'm gonna bring this forth again. When you have a guy like D-Hop that is one of the best in the game, he's 30, 31 years of age, he commands respect, right? He commands attention. And I'm not saying that he's the one that's needing attention. What I'm saying is he will command attention. And he will command attention from his quarterback, attention from his offensive coordinator, right? We brought him in. If we do bring him in, we bring him in for a good chunk of cash. When you bring someone in and you pay this person, you have to pay attention to this person. You're going to have to feed this person. Well, the Bills also have a bona fide star in Stephon Diggs. And not once have I heard Stephon Diggs. You know what I mean? When certain players are gung-ho about their team and adding people to their squad and so on and so forth, you hear it. It's present. It's out there, right? Just a small example. And obviously he's doing it because it's his brother. But like when that whole, you know what I'm saying, Trayvon Diggs and the swapping of the Dallas Cowboys stuff, and it was like, oh, I'd love to play with my brother. But that's his brother. But it's public. It's out there. I didn't see anything public coming from my man Stephon Diggs on D-Hop coming through. I haven't seen it. Unless you guys can point me to it, I haven't seen it. Not because he's hating on it, but he ain't good. Like, could you imagine you are the guy on the squad? The guy. They know what you mean to the team. And all of a sudden, they bring in another guy that's like you. The guy. So as the alpha receiver on the squad, how does that present to Stephon Diggs? I'm not saying he would have an issue with it, but I'm here to bring up how potentially he could feel, right? I'm that dude. And then now you're going to bring in D-Hop. What's going on? You're not happy with the production I give you? You don't like the three back-to-back-to-back seasons that I've given you that's been productive? You don't like that? It's not enough for you? So now you got to bring on D-Hop? That you can see how that could potentially present a problem. I don't know how great a fit it would be in terms of in the locker room. It sounds great at the beginning, but when it's crunch time, who are you going to? You know what I'm saying? Because if you're that alpha dog and you're that guy, you demand the football at crunch time. You didn't see the Bengals game? What does this mean? This means get your shit together. I'm your guy. Look for me. Let's make this thing happen. Now you bring in D-Hop. A whole bunch of egos gonna have to be checked at that door. And you know, receivers be the and this is not on Stephon Diggs, it's just the receiver position. Receiver position, these boys, they divas, man. They want that football in crunch time, they want it. So that's a tough decision for a quarterback. Quarterback's gonna have to, you know what I mean, pick your poison. Great for the team. It'd be great for the team. We get the dubs and all that stuff. But like, how would it work? How would it work? And you know what? I'm going to reach out to my man, Stevie Johnson. I'm going to reach out to my man, Stevie Johnson. I'm going to bring him on the show and I'll ask him. I want to know how as a receiver, how you feel, right? In the time of when you're in your prime. I'd love to get that, but we'll cross that bridge when we need to. But D-Hop to Bills is still a possibility. But the longer, you know what it is, man. The longer these things fester, the less chance it happens. It's just what it is, man. How many names have been tied to the Bills and we think we're gonna get it, and then they end up going somewhere else? OBJ to the Bills makes a whole bunch of sense. OBJ, OBJ, OBJ. The longer it festers, boom, doesn't happen. And that looked like it was like a pretty sure bet. We'll see. My man Joe, what's up, Joe? What did Joe? Oh, Joe Meehan says, "Yo, Andre Reed benefited from James Lofton arriving in Buffalo. There's no question. I'm sure, and he did. But I can't tell you. I mean, I've spoken to Andre Reed, humble dude, and just loves, you know what I'm saying, competitor, all that stuff. So James Lofton, when he came in, was later end of his season, of his career-ish. So did it work? Absolutely did. And I'd have to go back. I mean, that's back in the day a little bit. I have to go back and kind of see how that worked out. But I'd have to ask him for himself. Shit, that might be another guy I have to reach out to and say, hey, man, how was it when James Lofton came through? Was it something you had to adjust to? Did you hate it at first? Did you guys end up finding that niche? How did it work out? A lot of those things play out. That's a great point. But I'd be interested to see where he actually ends up. Dark horse, and some folks may not like to hear this, but the Jaguars seem like a very likely destination. I don't want to say likely. It would be a nice destination. And some folks have brought up, hey, man, that's a lot of money tied up on that team already. You think they can afford D-Hop? Absolutely they can. If they really wanted to, they do have money in the bank in the first place. If they wanted to move some things around, they absolutely can. And that would be nice. Zay Jones on that squad. You bring in a little D-Hop on that squad. Christian Kirk. You have those three boys on that squad right there. Boom. Bob's your uncle. And you got Evan Ingram already on that squad. I mean, that would be a legitimate addition. Now, the other places that make sense, obviously, are the Chiefs. The Chiefs and the Bills stand in the same position where we're sitting at $1.7, $1.6 million. We just don't have that cash. But if they really wanted to make some moves, they can, right? Now, if D-Hop was all about the money, there are teams out there that would be definitely interested in bringing him in. Like, Panthers would be the prime place. They got all the money in the world to bring somebody on. But it ain't going to happen because y'all ain't winning. Y'all just, you're starting all over again. He doesn't want to be part of that. However, D-Hop to the Ravens still looks good. Still makes sense. D-Hop to the Giants, I thought about it. I was like, I don't know about that one. He still wants a bona fide quarterback. So let's talk about that. But Lawrence looks good for the Jags. He's up and coming. Going to the Chargers. The Chargers bringing in Quentin Johnson. So maybe this little, not much room. I'm trying to think of, there was one other place that was at the Browns. You put D-Hop back with, obviously, Deshaun Watson. And you got Amari Cooper. So you got some things in that there. You got some things out there, man. So the Browns could be a dark horse, man. And I think Stefanski was like, hey, man, I'm always looking. So the D-Hop situation, listen, man, now it's getting muddy. Now he's got himself a car. He's got himself an agent. So now they're going to start fielding phone calls because there was something about, oh, we don't know who we're dealing with. I don't know if it's actually him. People are misrepresenting, and I don't know. So we're going to wait to talk to him directly. So when he's hearing that, he's like, hey, let me just get myself an agent. You deal with that. So we will see where these DeAndre Hopkins talks go. Does he go to the Bills? I don't know, man. The longer this goes, the longer this festers, probably not going to happen, man. Probably not going to happen. And we're already coming. We're pretty much invested in the guys that we have on the squad. Really, if you think about it, you got a second-year player in Khalil Shakir that we've been asking more of. So you bring out DeAndre Hopkins. Guess what that does? That drops him down a peg or two. You know what I'm saying? You got Deontay Hardy that's going to try to make himself some room. You got Dalton Kincaid that's going to be playing a lot in the slot as a tight end. So you bring in a DeAndre Hopkins. Not that I'm saying that it's going to hinder your team. It doesn't. It makes you better. But we also brought in some pieces that we want to elevate and see what they bring to the table on a cheaper scale. So those play obviously a part in this whole DeAndre Hopkins situation. Now, if he comes to the Bills, Yeah, let's rock. Let's roll. If he doesn't, so be it. We got to roll with what we got. And don't forget, we got Justin Shorter that has got major potential. Who knows what he's going to bring to the table? A lot of people took my my tweet out of hand big time. I said, man, if you watch the way this brother moves, the way he runs, if you've seen T.O. run his routes, T.O.'s arms are like this, and it's just a weird, it's like a, you can just tell when T.O.'s running routes. Justin Shorter kind of gives you that same style of run, same style of movement. Man, these brothers ran with that. So you're saying he's a Hall of Famer? What? Where did I come up with that? I said the brother moves like him. Golly, man. Shit. If I said I walk like Denzel, am I saying that I'm Denzel Washington? Come on now. I mean, we look alike a little bit. But I'm just saying, like, come on, man. Yeah, some people just like to run with things, man. Who is this guy saying he's like T.O.? Man, y'all better stop. Y'all better stop. Anyway, so D-Hop to the Bills, is it a potential to happen? Absolutely it is. Is being going to pull the trigger? Who does he have to move? Who will he have to, you know what I'm saying, pretty much kind of cut? I wouldn't say cut, but restructure. There are some restructure candidates. Deion Dawkins being one of them, Tre'Davious White being another. Because you want to do those moves for guys that you will retain on this team, not a guy that you're not sure about, right? And the way that rehab is going for Tre'Davious White, and he's apparently been looking pretty damn good. Shit, let's roll with it, man. So that's a guy that you're gonna keep for a while. And from what I'm understanding and hearing on OTAs with the other cornerbacks. And we'll get into that. We'll get a chance to get into the OTAs. But this D-Hop chatter, I had to get in on that just one more time before it dies down and we find out he goes somewhere else. Probably chances is probably going to happen, and it'll be interesting to see where he goes. And it'll be interesting to see all that chatter he was bumping about management, defense, and the type of quarterback. We will see. I bet not see your ass go to the Dallas Cowboys. Boy, you better stop. I mean, I better not see your ass go to the Patriots, because then all that shit you've been talking was some bullshit. But if he's a man of his word and he's going to go to the team that he tells you that these are the things that are important to him, we'll find out. We will soon see. All right. Moving on to the next one. By the way, if you guys are tuned in, smash that like while you guys are in here. There's about 100 people watching right now. So salute to y'all. Salute to my Facebook people. Salute to, you know what I'm saying, the YouTube folks, the Twitter folks, everybody tuned in. What's up? What's happening? So we got primetime games this year. Yet again, we are cream of the crop. We got 6 primetime games. And I love it. I love every bit of it. It's exciting. I'm jacked up for it. But I'm also sad at the same time. And people will understand what I say, what I mean when I say I'm sad at the same time. Because not only will we get to see our team on prime time, but for those that work these off-hour shifts, right? Like not these 9-to-5s, you know what I'm saying? You get your whole weekends to yourself. For those that work the overnight shift or the evening shifts and all those things, it blows. Because we can't watch those games because we sitting here at work. And for someone that creates content and for someone that talks and covers the team, this is detrimental. But you got to make it work. We're going to have to sacrifice some sleep, but we're going to make it work. But these primetime games, I'm excited about. And I was thinking about it. I was like, well, out of all these primetime games, which ones are you most looking forward to? So you know what? I was like, F it. Let's rank them. Let us rank the top 6, and I'm going to start with the 6th team, the 6th game, if you will, that I'm in. Obviously, all games are very great. All games are amazing. Every one of these games that they've set us up with are great games. But there are some games where you're like, that's the one I'm looking forward to. That's the one I want to watch and see how this plays out. So without further ado and without making y'all wait, let's start with it. So number 6 on the list. Actually, before I even put it, what do you guys think my number 6 on the list is? Which one stands out to you as the number 6 on the list? Where you're like, I like all the games that we've been playing, but this is the one that I'm least excited to, you know what I'm saying, to really talk about and really get into. Which one stands out to you? I see Terrence, my man Terrence says, hey man, That Bengals Bills game's only one I care about. Hey, that's a good one. That's a good one. Sarah Christine says the Giants game. That's the one she's least looking forward to. The Giants game would be good. The Jets game, you're least looking forward to the Jets game, or is that the one you guys are looking forward to? Because the Giants game, I'm pretty excited about that one. I'm actually excited about the Giants game. And I'll let you guys know how it goes. But anyway, let's get into it. So the least interested that I primetime game that I'm like, yeah, it's nice, but that's not the one I'm looking forward to the most. That's the Bills and Broncos. That week 10 matchup with the Bills and Broncos, it's a nice game. Russell Wilson with the year Russell Wilson had last year, it was a rough one. It was a rough one for him. It was a rough one for the Broncos. And just this whole let's ride. Yo, they dragged that brother through the mud. Yo, they said, let's ride you through the mud is what they did to my man, Russell Wilson. But Russell Wilson's got a new coach in Sean Payton. Russell Wilson's going to year two with the Broncos. Jerry Jeudy's coming back. Tim Patrick's coming back. So they've got some things happening. Javonte Williams, running back, is coming back off of injury. So that you gain back some beef. You gain back some toughness on this team. And Sean Payton is the biggest piece to this situation. The biggest piece of the situation, because you got a Super Bowl winning coach. You got a coach that knows the offense. He knows offense. So if anybody's going to turn things around in Denver, in Boulder, Colorado, in Denver, Colorado, if you will, that would be Sean Payton and that team. Now, there are, and why does it interest me? It's the Denver Broncos. Like, I mean, they weren't anything to look at last year. And we hyped them up like you wouldn't believe that they're about to, that the AFC is crazy, but the AFC West is nuts. How are we going to deal this, that, and the, nah, man. It was a dud. It was a complete dud. I'm not looking forward to it. So that is my number six on the list. There's nothing really that stands out to me. And we'll see how this plays out, man. So the Broncos, to me, that's the number six on the list. Listen, if you guys can change my mind, jump in there and change my mind. But I don't know. There's nothing really that stands out to me. My man, Jeff King. What's good, Jeff? Jeff says, yo, I'm looking forward to our last game headed into the Super Bowl. That's the game I'm looking forward to. Brother, you ain't lying. Because man, I cannot wait until we have an opportunity to hear the Buffalo Bills are headed to the Super Bowl. Let me tell you something, man. I cannot wait to hear something like that. Jeff King, you are damn right. Let me put that back up there. Jeff King says, all these games are important. I get it. But the most important one to me is the one that is the one going into the Super Bowl. That's the one I'm interested in. And you know how it goes. Time ticking down. We hold on to the victory, and the announcers are not going to be able to contain themselves. The Buffalo Bills are headed back to the Super Bowl. Golly. Wouldn't that be nice? But we got to get through these 17 games first. We got to get through these 17 games, man. Because right now, some teams have us winning only some entities and some places out there only have us winning 9 games. Some guy is winning 13, 14 games. We got to win these games, boy. We got to win these games. Real talk. But that Broncos game, week 10, I ain't really feeling that one. All games are good, but that's the one I'm feeling the less. I'm feeling the least, excuse me. So let's move on. Let's go to number five. What is the number five game? What's that other game that we sitting here like, I'm not so much. I mean, all games are great, but that's the one that stands out to me, that it's a nice game, but I'm not really into it as much. Well, let me see what you guys are talking about first before I jump into it. If you guys are inclined to guess which one it is. So the number six game is the Bills Broncos week 10. And what's the number five? Which one of you guys are, is it that Giants game? Does that Giants game fall into that number? Well, I'll tell you I'm not even gonna let you guys jump into that right now. It's the Bills in London. The Bills in London versus the Jags, right? Week five. Now, most folks will be like, Well, why? You get to go against Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence went against the Chargers, and he came back against the Chargers. It was legitimate, blah, blah, blah. You know what? I get it. I 1,000% understand it. But it's in London. You know what I'm saying? It's supposed to be a home game for us, and our home game's in London. You know what I'm saying? And not only that, you're watching a game at like 9 a.m. or whenever the game is going to be played, at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. It's like, eh. I mean, I could, it's nice. But I'd prefer it to be, you know what I'm saying, at 1 p.m., you know what I'm saying, the 4 o'clock game. But if you're going to make it a primetime game, you make it a primetime game. But you got me watching a primetime game at 11 a.m. I ain't interested. You know what I'm saying? Now, as for the matchup is a great matchup. Trevor Lawrence, Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, they got a slew of weapons on that squad. Like, there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. You already know. That's a huge one. That's a massive game to when you look at two fire quarterbacks, two great head coaches. Peterson's holding it down over there with the Jags. He turned that damn franchise around. Because if you remember the last head coach they had, that boy just, he ran that team into the ground. It was run amok. It was run amok. You feel me? But I'm not feeling that early morning game. And some of y'all might be feeling it. Some of y'all might be going to the game. Now, if you're going to London, you're going to the UK, you know what I'm saying? Make sure, you know what I'm saying? Make sure that you really soak it all in. Soak it all in. But I'm not feeling that one, folks. I'm not feeling that one. Great matchup. You put that at a 9 p.m. game, 8 p.m. game. Now we got it. But you know what? Zay Jones ain't no joke, man. Zay Jones, I got a lot of respect for Zay Jones. When he's with the Bills, he was a rook. There was some dropsies. And he reinvented himself a little bit when he went to the Raiders. And he was looking pretty damn good. And he's really reinvented himself as a guy to go to with the Jaguars. So I'm good for that brother, man. Real talk, good for him. I'm happy for Zay Jones. Christian Kirk's doing his thing. He got the bag. I was surprised they gave all that money to Christian Kirk. But you know what? He was doing the damn thing for that team, man. So the matchup works. That roster works for that squad, and Peterson's holding it down. So we'll see how that plays out. I got Donut Bop comes in and says, hey, Jags will be more accustomed to time change since it's their second game in a row. Oh, that's a good point. That is a great point. So that's another thing too, right? These guys got to adjust their time. It's just... I'm not into that, man. So that's my number 5 game. I battled with it. I was going to make that number my number 6, but it's because of the matchup. I like the matchup. The matchup, the weapons on both squads, I think that's going to be a great matchup. And really, Trevor Lawrence is really the draw. Trevor Lawrence, he's up and coming, and he's finding his way around this league. So good for him, man. So number four, we're halfway there.
We're halfway there. Oh.
All right. So number four on the list, I'm going to get right to it, man. It's the Bills and the Chargers. Week 16. Well, it's because it's way back. It's way down in week 16. Now, I would have loved that nice and early where everybody's healthy. We get banged up by that time. We get banged up. Who knows who's going to be playing? Who knows who's going to be around at that point? So if you're going to give us this Chargers-Bills game, give it to us early. You know what I'm saying? Where everybody's fresh, everybody's on their game, and now we can really see what's going on with that matchup, right? That's why you don't see a Bills Chiefs week 16, week 15. You want that shit early. You want that early where everybody's healthy at that point, give or take. And now we see who's really about that life, right? But Chargers are a very good team. You got Khalil Mack, you got Joey Bosa, and listen, I was watching I was actually listening to Khalil Mack talk the other day, and he was like, listen, man, if you think that was what we can give you last year with me and Bosa, you got another thing coming. We did not play well, and we could have played way better than we did. So we are about to bring it to y'all this year. I was like, golly, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. But I have tremendous respect for Khalil Mack. To this day, I waver back and forth, my man. We traded up for Sammy Watkins. And Khalil Mack was right there for the picking. He was right there for the picking. If we were trading up, we could have grabbed that brother right there. And what a difference he would have made for this team. Oh my God. Like, he's still doing things now. Could you imagine if we built off of bringing him onto the squad. And sometimes I get bothered by it. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. It happened. Sammy Watkins came through, gave us a little bit of buzz in the city. And that Sammy Watkins addition ended up making the Bills have to make a decision with Stevie Johnson. Oof! It pains me to this day when we had to make that move to Stevie Johnson. When we brought in Sammy Watkins, we said, all right, Stevie has been great. We're going to trade you to where you want to go because, you know what I mean, we know you're from the Bay. So they trade that brother to what? I think it was San Fran he went to first. Or was it the Chargers? San Fran. Oh, did that ever pain me? I don't know about you guys, but when they moved Stevie Johnson, I was pained because, yes, we had Robert Woods. Yes, we had, I think, Marquise Goodwin. Was it the year before? I think we had Marquise Goodwin on the side. I wanted every one of those last guys on the squad. Stevie, Sammy, Robert Woods. Like, we should have kept that thing. Saddens me. It does. It really does sadden me. But here we are. You know what I'm saying? Sammy Watkins is somewhere in the league. I don't even know if he's in the league still. And Stevie Johnson is still doing. He's still that guy. I love Stevie Johnson. That's my favorite Bill of all time. You already know that. Let's move it on. But these Bills Chargers game should be great. It's one of those games where you're gonna have to protect Josh Allen. Protect Josh Allen, because in the words of Deion Sanders, they coming. You know what I'm saying? And we're gonna be screaming around that edge. And they've got some great weapons. Obviously, Keenan Allen's on that squad. They got Eckler. Eckler's just like this guy can run the ball inside, outside, catch the football. They've got some great weapons on that squad. And then let's not talk about the defense. Defense, I mean, you already know what it is. So they're coming into their own. So that, to me, that's the number four game. It's going to be nice. I wish they made it earlier, but this setup is going to be, it's going to be something, man, because these games are going to matter down the stretch. And I see why they did it. Matter down the stretch. You're going to play an AFC West foe, and we'll see how that plays out. So shout out to the Chargers and the Bills game. That's going to be a fun one. And that's my number four game, primetime game that I'm looking forward to. All right, let's move on to let's go to the next one. What do you guys think it is? I mean, there's only three left. So what do you guys got? So I got the Jets, Bengals, and Giants. Those are the ones that I'm looking forward to the most. And let me just get right into it. Number three on the list, that's the Giants. Bills, Giants, week six. I have that high. Most people are like, what? You got the Giants with the number three game you're looking forward to? Yes, because if you think about it, there's a lot of intrigue in this game, right? You got Brian Daboll, the former coach of the Buffalo Bills, the former offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills that pretty much got these guys offensively on the map, lighting things up. And now he's got his own squad. He's a former coach of the year. Like, he's legit. He's legit. Joe Schoen went over there as the GM over there. So they started poaching people. You know what I'm saying? Isaiah Hodges made it to that squad. He's over there doing big things. Got him to a nice little contract. Yo, that game is going to be fun. McDermott, defensive head coach. Daboll, offensive head coach. Clash together. You got an aggressive style offensive coordinator. Aggressive style defensive coordinator. It's a good clash. It's a nice clash. And you know that they construct their teams somewhat similar. So this is, how could you not enjoy this game? And this is more intrigue to it. You know what I mean? It's Daboll, man. We love Daboll. And Daboll having success with the Giants, we kind of appreciate that. And now we don't want him to have success against the Bills. So we got to wax that ass. Yeah, I'm sorry. We got to wax that ass. But I'm looking forward to this game. This game is going to be fun. They've added some pieces on that squad. They got a nice defense. And the defense is coming along. The one thing that is holding them back is Danny Dimes. Now, maybe Danny Dimes comes in. They gave him a little contract. Maybe he comes in and starts really grasping this team and grasping the concepts of the Daboll mindset. And he does really well with it. Who knows how this plays out? But that game, I'm looking forward to. That's my number three on the list. I just can't. I just had to put on there, man. I had to put on that. I clicked that by accident, by the way. My man Dunn7716 says, dumb that we traded Stevie Johnson when we drafted Watkins and should have picked Hopkins over Watkins. Hey, shoulda, woulda, coulda. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. But it is what it is at this point. Listen, man, it's history. It is history. By the way, we're going into the next two games. We're going into the next two games. You guys let me know which ones you guys are feeling. Which one is it? Is it the Jets game or is it the Bengals game? Those are the two games left. Which is it that you think is the number two? Or which is the number one game that we should be looking forward to? Who you guys got? Jets game number two? You guys have the Jets game as the number two? I got you. I struggled with it. I was like, man, it's really intriguing because that Bengals game, we need to fix that comeback with that Bengals game. We just need to. We need to show them that we can compete. We need to show them that game that they played us, that we just weren't ourselves and it just things didn't go right. If everything that we needed to go right was not even there. Everything just went sour. It was bad. It was just not a good game on all fronts. So there's a lot of things for us to look forward to with that game. And then that Jets game is week one. It's week one. That's how you set the tone. You set the tone with week one. And it's one of those situations where, like, yo, how could you go wrong with that? It's the Jets. They brought in Aaron Rodgers. They bring in all these pieces. You mean to really try to get on the throne that we have right now? We're sitting on the throne at this point. They want to knock us off the throne. And how do you knock somebody off the throne? Well, you gotta take the crown. And right now we are still holding on to that crown until, you know what I'm saying, the season starts. But you know what? I can't do it. I can't allow, you know what I'm saying, that to happen. So you know what? That Bills versus Jets week one game, that's the number two on my list. And here's the reason for it when I go by it. And that Jets game, and I personally think we lose this game. I think we split with the Jets this year. And that week one, I think we lose this game. I think the game being at the Jets and the hype is around them, all that good stuff. And that's not to say we're not talented enough to whoop them, because we are. But I think that the juices will be flowing with that squad. And we start off the year 0-1, which I absolutely hate. But that's my prediction. I'm going to stick to it. That's what I predicted that's going to happen. And I think they steal that game from us in week one. But that's my week one. That's my number two Bills game, primetime game that I'm looking forward to. That was going to be a big one. It's going to be fun. First and foremost, it's the week one. It's prime time. Everybody's going to be watching it and everybody's intrigued with Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen. They're both friends. They golfing together. So there's some competition that's going to be had with those two. So that being said, listen, Breece Hall returns. Garrett Wilson, you know what I'm saying, offensive rookie of the year. Sauce Gardner, defensive rookie of the year. Like, there's not a whole lot not to like about this team. Mosley holding it down at the middle linebacker spot. Quinnen Williams on the defensive front. Jermaine Johnson, they brought. Like, they've got some dogs on this team. They got dogs on this team. And they really did well these last 2 years. They've really built this team to compete. They really have. You can't even hate. You can't throw shade. They really have. You know what I'm saying? And some folks might say, man, you sound scared. It's not about sounding scared, because I know a lot of people. So Pierre likes to say that, man. You sound scared, bro. Nah, man. Ain't nothing about being scared. It's more showing respect. You know what I mean? You got to show respect to them because they brought it to us last year, and they didn't have the proper roster that they have right now. And they're gonna come with it, man. They're going to come with it. So, and Robert Saleh, you know what I'm saying? A good defensive coach. He's got some better pieces on this squad. He's really gonna cater to the guys on the squad, and he's gonna bring it to us. So this is the game that is gonna be fun to watch. There's no question about it. So the Jets week one, that's my number two game, and I'm looking forward to that game. It's gonna be a big one. And last but not least on this list, it's the Bills Bengals week nine. The Bills and Bengals week nine has to happen. It has to happen, and it can't happen soon. If they gave it to us sooner than that, I would have loved it. I would have loved it. But this game right here, how could you not make this the number one game on the primetime list? Have to. Joe Burrow is getting all the love. Joe Burr. You know what I'm saying? I had Bengals content creators talking mad-ish. I have one of my good friends, Brandon, is a Bengals fan, and he was like, yo, we're going to slap you up. I was getting heated the way he was talking. Yo, we're going to slap you up. What do you mean? Yo, his face even saying that was making me upset. You know what I'm saying? But I had to put on a brave face. I'm like, nah, hold on a sec. You think you're going to smack us up? What about when you did this? And what about, man, they smacked us up. They did. And he was right. You know what I'm saying? I have my man Zim that came through, a Bengals content creator, and he goes, "You guys got a good squad, but we just match up way better, and we're gonna be all over you. It's just what it is." So all that needs to be put to rest. We need to come in week 9 the same way we circle when we have to play the Chiefs, and we've done pretty well against the Chiefs in the regular season. I know it's regular season because what really matters is the playoffs. I know. But in the regular season is what we talking about right now. This is what we talking about right now. So when it comes down to this Bills-Bengals game, we have to return the favor. We have to come in and whack that ass. When I say whack, I'm talking about smack that. Smack that. I might as well just play me some Akon right now.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You know what I'm saying? Because we need to smack that, make them get on the floor and just say, okay, no more, no mas, stop. We got to, man. That we need to repay the favor, because I'm still embarrassed. I'm still to this day embarrassed of that performance that we put on in front of everybody. Set aside all the nonsense we were talking about. Once you get on the football field within the white lines, play ball. Play freaking ball. Are we sitting here bullshitting, getting spanked 27-10? Golly, I'm embarrassing. Listen, it's stirring something up in me. You know what I mean? So that's why this week 9 matchup against the Bengals, we got to take care of business. We got to take care of business. There's no ways about it. It has to. James Cook going into his second year. I'm looking forward to that. We brought in Brandon Shaw. I'm gonna get into that in just a moment. Listen, we've got some guys on the squad that just really need to get it together, right? So the weather elements, whether you want to call it something or not, that plays a part. But I'm gonna say this. A lot of people were giving Isaiah McKenzie flack for a comment he made on the Bengals-Bills game when he mentioned weather. And most folks say, oh, hold on a second, man. You can't use the weather as an excuse because the Bengals were in the same situation. 1,000% agree. But he did say something that got me thinking. He goes, our offensive coordinator and Ken Dorsey, for the elements that we were playing in, he wasn't setting us up, and I'm paraphrasing here, by the way, he wasn't setting us up to win. He wasn't setting us up to play, you know what I'm saying, to put us in position to make plays. Like, you know, this, it's snowing. You know that the weather, the conditions are crap, footing is crap, and you got us just running these clearing routes and deep routes, and like, it's basic. No wonder we lost. So like, and that's what he, and that's what I caught from him. It wasn't about the weather. It was about in the weather, put us in a position that we're calling plays that fit us to win this game. And that's what he was calling coach out on. And I found that very interesting because, listen, man, if we play in muddy conditions, I'm obviously exaggerating here. We're playing in muddy conditions. It's a monsoon, okay? And we're sitting here airing it out. deep shots. It's like, whoa, this is a game where you got to, you know what I mean? It's a bruising game. Run the freaking football. Everything stay close. Like, that's how you're gonna do it. But we airing the football out. That ain't a recipe to win. And these rains that you can't see. I mean, I'm exaggerating completely, but that's what I gathered from Isaiah McKenzie. And case in point, if you look back at that game where it's windy, it's cold, there's snow, all that good stuff. Guess what the Bengals did? They ran the freaking ball. They ran the ball. Joe Mixon. What do you have, like 160 yards rushing? Like, it was ridiculous. But they played to, and I'm going to sound like Herb Edwards here, they played to win the game, and they did. They whooped us 27-10. But they played to win the game because they ran the freaking football. Golly, man. I'm getting all worked up again. Anyway, I digress. But you guys catch my point. So we will see how this plays out week 9. This is a big matchup. This is huge. We better circle that bitch on the calendar. And when that time comes, when the Bills and Bengals play, we got to leave with a dub. We got to leave with a dub. And just to make sure that I want to stay true to my ranking system. Did I have us winning that game? I got to go back. I had us losing that game, by the way. Although I have us losing that game because I just think that that's just the way it's going to shake out. I obviously I want to win that game, but that's the game I'm looking forward to. It's not about winning and losing. It's about what game am I most looking forward to watching? That's the way I look at it, right? I think we lose that game. But I mean, this is predictions are crapshoot. I can predict that we go 17-0 and we go 0-17. You know what I'm saying? I can predict that we win 13 games, we win 8. I can predict that we win 7 games because I think we're going to be trash, but we win 14. You know what I'm saying? It could go anywhere. It really can. You know what I'm saying? But this isn't about winning and losing because I've already done that. I already went through the schedule. I think I have us going 12-5 this year. It's just a tougher schedule. It's just what it is. But this very game I'm looking forward to, and it's just a big one. We need if we win this one, that's great. I just don't see us winning that one. Now, out of the games that we are on primetime, just so I can tell you how I had this, how it played out, actually. So, primetime, let me go through my notes. So, I got us losing against the Jets. So, we lose against the Jets, week 1, primetime. The next primetime game was in London. Shit, I had us losing that one, too. Damn. So, we lose that one. Hold on. So, we win the Giants game. We win the Giants game, and then we're up against the Bengals. We lose that one against the Bengals. We win against the Broncos. And then the Chargers, we win against the Chargers. I have us win against the Chargers. And listen, golly, I didn't realize that I picked the games like that. Well, that's just the way it is, folks. That's just the way it is. The primetime games, I didn't even look at how it played out. It's just, that's the way I had it going. So these primetime games ain't looking too hot according to my list here. Golly, we gotta be better. I hope that my list is wrong. Let's just put it that way. I hope my list is absolutely wrong and we go from there. You know what I'm saying? But shit, that's just the way I picked it out. And I have to stick to it. I'm not gonna change up. I gotta stick to it. And I'm not gonna change up. But that's just the way I have it. So Broncos, I have us winning. I have us losing in London. And the reason I took the loss in London was because of time, and we're changing schedules and so on and so forth. So there's a lot into that game. Why I have us losing that game. Chargers, I have us winning. Giants, I have us winning. Jets, I have us losing. And Bengals, I have us. Yikes. Primetime games don't look good for us this year, guys. That's just the way it is. I apologize if you guys don't like that list. It's just what it is. I hope I'm wrong. So, folks, that's the list, the primetime games that we got going. It's going to be a fun year, man. This is going to be almost a redemption year because although, and it's weird to say this, although we won 13 games, it just feels that against the teams, I mean, they were playing some really strong teams, and I feel like this is a redemption year almost for priming us for the playoffs and then really making it work in the playoffs. Playoffs is where we need to really perform, and that's the big one. And our performance in the playoffs, we've just come up short. We've come up short, man. And we were like, I can't believe it, but we were so close to the Super Bowl. Like we don't realize how like, I'm not saying we take it for granted, but we were in the AFC Championship game. AFC Championship game. Playing the Chiefs. Golly, like we were close, but we just weren't ready. And we lost that AFC Championship game. And then the division round. You know what I'm saying? We got 13 seconds in division round. And then we go in the division round again. We just smacked up. Like, golly, man. We're so close. So we just gotta get back to it, make it work, and let's just make a run, baby. Let's make a run. Damn it. Anyway, so that's that for the primetime games. I appreciate you guys tuning in for this. Smash that like while you guys are here, by the way. Smash that like. If you have not subscribed, subscribe to the channel. The goal is to get to 30K this offseason. Boy, is that going to be tough. But we want to try to get to 30,000 subscribers by the end of the year. So I'm giving us some time to get that. If we get there sooner, wow, even more amazing. That'd be great. Before I get out of here, I want to touch on some OTA nuggets that's going on around the league. So first, let's get into the addition. So we brought in a big piece to the offensive line, and that is by the name of Brandon Shell. Brandon Shell, the 6'5", 324-pound right tackle, is headed to Buffalo, he's going to be I don't know. To me, a lot of folks are talking about, oh, Spencer Brown better watch out. Spencer Brown is on notice. Spencer Brown this, Spencer Brown that. And rightfully so. I can understand why folks feel that way. But this was an addition that was needed. Because when you looked at the roster and you look at left tackle solidified, left guard, right guard, not as solidified as you think. There's going to be some competition, but you have some ideas of who's going to be doing what. The center position is solidified. And the right tackle position was solidified because there was no really anybody to push that until now. Now, David Questenberry is a fine depth piece, right? Nothing to write home about. But bringing in a Brandon Shell changes the game. And you might think that I'm saying it changes the game because he's going to be competing right against Spencer Brown, but that's not the case. He's going to be competing for that right tackle spot behind Spencer Brown because the team believes in Spencer Brown, and they're going to give him every opportunity to make this roster. And when I say make this roster, I'm talking about make this roster a great roster, to make this to protect Josh Allen. Because if you look at what we've done this offseason, we've made an emphasis with the little money that we had. We've made an emphasis on protecting Josh Allen. And let's keep it a buck here, because last time I checked, if I'm correct or not, I'm not sure. But David Questenberry was the offensive tackle that was in on the injury that happened to Josh Allen. I'm not saying it's Questenberry's fault. Not at all what I'm saying. It's just that when you have your depth pieces in, those things happen. Now, those things happen when starters play in as well, but it just happened to be that he was on the field. Now, this Brandon Shell addition is not primarily brought in to compete, in my opinion, with the likes of Spencer Brown. They're going to give Spencer Brown all the reps. You're going to be the guy. You're the starter. This is for David Questenberry. David Questenberry is going to have some competition with Brandon Shell. And here's the thing with Brandon Shell. Brandon Shell, he was ranked 17th out of 100, according to PFF, in run blocking grade. So boy can get after it. He can definitely get after it. So we have depth in that regard. He's had reps. He's got significant reps with the Dolphins. He was a right tackle with the Dolphins. I'm just looking at my notes here. He's a right tackle with the Dolphins. He had 479 pass blocking snaps, only allowed 2 sacks. He allowed 40 pressures, and he had 11 starts with that squad. So it's not like he's some guy that just came out of nowhere and here he is. He's had some time. I think he even had drafted by the Jets, I believe, in the fifth round, and he had starts with the Jets as well. So he started at least seven to eight games with the Jets. He had some time with the Jets. He had some time with the Dolphins, started 11 games. So the guy's got snaps under his belt. He's got experience under his belt. So those are important to know when you bring in a guy like that, and he, in my opinion, will beat out David Questenberry. So now you have a right tackle, solely a right tackle, because he's not a versatile player. He's played a couple, maybe a few snaps there on the left side, but primarily a right tackle, right? We don't have a guy that can bounce all over the place. You know, we've got a guy that this is his job. He knows how to do it. Bring him in. Let's roll. So Brandon Shell coming through is going to not only back up Spencer Brown, but if Spencer Brown decides to shit the bed and is just not panning out the way we thought he would, and we gave him every opportunity to be that guy, insert Brandon Shell. Brandon Shell will take over. Do we want that to happen? No. We want Spencer Brown to ideally work out. 6'8", RAS score of 10. Like, you want that guy. That guy is athletic as can be. However, Spencer Brown has some struggles. Spencer Brown struggled mightily his rookie season. Spencer Brown was hurt last year, but also had some struggles as well. So am I confident in Spencer Brown's ability? I'm shaky on it. And if we're really trying to make that run, you got to protect number 17. You can't have these mental lapses. You can't have these guys just run around you like you're nothing. You are athletic as can be. You're strong as an ox, man. So we got to put it together year three. Year three is a massive year for Spencer Brown. We got to put it together. Yes, your rookie year wasn't the greatest, but you got some experience under your belt. I mean, last year wasn't your greatest. I mean, it was a vast improvement. Don't get me wrong. But golly, this is it. You got to put it together. You got to put it together. Or Brandon Smell. He's smelling of a way to get into that. Don't give him that opportunity to get into that right tackle position. Because I, as a fan, wouldn't be happy about it. I want my guy, Spencer Brown, to be that guy. But I got my reservations. So Brandon Shell comes through. I think that he will gain some valuable reps, and I think he'll beat out David Questenberry for the spot, and then he will be our depth piece at right tackle if things don't work out the way we wanted to with Spencer Brown. So we'll see what it is, man. We'll see what it is. Sarah Christine says, yo, I loved him chugging a beer with a crowd in his rookie year. And you know what? That's probably the highlight of his career so far. Nah, I'm just going to keep it a buck. That's probably the highlight of his career so far, chugging a beer with the fans. You know what I'd rather be you doing? Crushing a beer on your opponent's forehead. That's what I'd rather you do. And I'm hoping that this is the year that it happens. He puts it together. I really want that to happen. So shout out to the Bills on making an effort on bringing some depth pieces and bringing some pieces that will help this team and really put some competition out there. Competition is what brings the best out of folks. So that's what we want. Last but not least, man, we're going to get into OTA talk. There's really not much to write home about when it comes to that. What really I took away from it, I mean, listening to Coach, listening to freaking offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey, he really didn't say much, man. Bunch of blah, 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 blah. We're working to do this, and we're going to try to do that, and we got some really good pieces on this team. Like, it's OTAs. I didn't get anything from it. You know what I'm saying? What I did get was he's going to put some, at least that's what I read, he's going to put some packages together for Kincaid. He's filling him out. He's trying to figure out how best to utilize him. I mean, we all know how to best utilize his ass, right? You brought him in to be the bigger Cole Beasley and replace what Cole Beasley was able to give you, but on a grander scale, a bigger scale, and a tight end scale, right? You can move him up. You can move him inside, move him back outside. Like, he's going to give you that. We know that. You know what I'm saying? We know that. But you're not going to get much from Ken Dorsey. That's just what it is, right? But OTAs, the one that I'm looking at, I'm reading because when we're not there, And I'd love to be able to have an opportunity to say, yo, give me my phone. Give me a little notepad. You know what I'm saying? Send me out to Buffalo. Let me watch these OTAs and kind of give you guys what it is. I'd love to be able to do that, but we aren't. We are at the mercy of, you know what I mean, to listen and watch the Sal Capaccios and then Perinos and, you know what I mean, all the other reporters that are doing a great job of covering the team and letting us know what they see at these OTAs. And I ain't buying it, but Terrell Bernard got a pick today against Matt Barkley. So I ain't buying it. Good for him. Right position, right time. Good. Good on him. It's cool. What I want to see, what I was interested in seeing, the biggest nugget that I got for us, Christian Benford continues to freaking be a thorn in Kyer Elam's side. I don't care what anybody was telling me. Kyer Elam is allowing Christian Benford to stick around. Now, maybe I'm reading way too much into it, and I probably am. I probably am. But I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm going to tell you something. I need this guy right here to have a massive second year. I need it. And I know it's OTAs. And love it that Christian Benford is actually gaining these nice reps with first team. But golly, you need to stand out. You need to. It's necessary. You know what I'm saying? We can't have this, oh, well, they're splitting time. And No. We're done with that. There's no more splitting time. There's no more splitting time. We're done with the splitting time. Takeover. It's the takeover. Do I need to play some Jay-Z for you? Do I? Come on, now it's a takeover, man. Take over that stuff. Stop letting these guys just look, I mean, move around and be in your space. Because that's what it feels like. This Christian Benford cat is making plays, bruh. And if this continues, shoot. Christian Benford's just going to take over and take that number one spot. He's just going to work on his craft on being a better man-to-man cover guy. We already know he's got the zone coverage down pat. That's what he does best. But I need my guy Kyer Elam to just, I need that. I wish you had more time to fend this guy off, man. Fend Christian Benford off, because that boy ain't letting you breathe. And this is the beautiful thing about competition. This is a beautiful thing about competition, but it's the optics. We moved up to grab Kyer Elam. We moved up to grab Kyer Elam. Christian Benford's like, I don't care. Yo, the minute they said, you're taking, I don't know if they sent him a Delta airline or if they sent him a Spirit airline. I don't know. 6-round picks, do they get Spirit airline or is it Delta? I don't know how it works out. But I'm sure Kyer Elam got the private jet treatment and then Christian Benford had to take Spirit airline. But damn the Spirit airline, he came through and was like, I don't care. I'm here now. And that's what really matters at the end of the day. Drafting and all that stuff is great. But once you guys put that uniform on, once you guys put that the shoulder pads and all that stuff, yo, all that draft numbers and where you got drafted, all that money you make, that's out the window. I'm working towards my second contract. And how I work towards my second contract is by poking holes and climbing the ladder and trying to take your spot, Kyer Elam. That's what Christian Benford's trying to do. So Kyer Elam, not only do you have to defend the likes of Garrett Wilson, you got to defend the likes of Allen Lazard. You got to defend Parker. You got to defend Stephon Diggs in practice. You got to defend your damn position from Christian Benford because he's coming for your ass. And I love it, but I hate it at the same time because we traded up for a first-round pick for your ass. Whoo! I'm speaking, am I? I know I'm speaking. So, love the competition, but don't like it so much that you let in too much room, you know what I mean, fester between y'all. And I didn't even get into Dane Jackson. Because they like Dane Jackson. Don't you dare let Dane Jackson come in and say, yo, Kyer, Christian, man, get behind me, bro. It's Dane Jackson season. Yo, I don't want to hear that shit, man. As much as respect I got for all those guys, I don't want to hear that shit. I don't. Golly, man. Anyway, but that's the biggest nugget that I got from it. And I'm not hating on Dane Jackson. If Dane Jackson comes in and really, you know what I'm saying, and comes in and says, yo, I'm the one that's going to be crossed from Trey White. I don't care what y'all talking about. I don't care that you got drafted in the first round. I don't care that you got drafted in the sixth. My ass got drafted in the seventh. And I'm holding shit down. So, golly, man. Not something that I was looking for. I didn't even think I was going to go here with this. But here I am. Here I am talking about the freaking cornerback spot number two. And guess what? And it's going to come down to competition. At the end of the day, guys, you guys know what it is. Trey White has been looking fantastic, apparently. So hopefully he returns to his all-pro prowess. All-pro, you know what I'm saying? All-pro Trey. But there's some competition at that cornerback spot. Oh, that's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. It's going to be fun to watch. So that's a three-man race right now. Dane Jackson, Kyir Elam, Christian Benford. Now, the linebacker position, Mr. Bobby Babich, former safety coach, has moved down to the linebacker coaching. And listen, obviously with the move away from Tremaine Edmonds going to the Bears, we clearly allowed that to happen because I'm no film guy, but this is going to be like almost like a NASCAR type of defense, right? You ain't got no traditional pieces on this team, traditional big time linebacker like a Paul Posluszny. You know what I'm saying? When I say big time, I'm not talking about like, you know what I mean, big time skill, but like a thumper. We don't got no like Takiya Spikes. We ain't got no, you know what I'm saying, like Tremaine Edmonds type of thumper linebacker. Thumper, I say thumper. I laugh when I say that. But you know what I'm talking about. Your big traditional middle linebacker. We don't got that no more. Now we just got linebackers that got speed, that got the ability to tackle, that can read a defense, that can drop into depth coverage, that can move around, that's going to be all over the place. So that's what I got from Mr. Bobby Babich. And he goes, listen, man, we're just going to have, it's going to be a matchup. Because this is what this league is about. It's about matchups. But in your matchups, don't get caught with the bad matchup on the field where we just get gushed for 250 yards by Breece Hall. Do not. I got a little out of hand there. But you guys catch what I'm saying. Don't get caught with your pants down. You know what I'm saying? And then we have these big-time backs come in and try to ruin things for me. Javonte Williams comes up in, you know what I'm saying, and runs us all over the place. Can't have that. We cannot. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to have that. We don't want to have freaking Raheem Mostert up the gut, bing, gone 60 yards. We just got to make sure that, and I trust McDermott will have us in great position. I trust McDermott that's going to put us in a situation where we're so damn aggressive that there's panic in the backfield. I hope that's the case. And I really love that McDermott's going to be taking over this team and calling plays because all I hear is how aggressive he's going to be. I'm loving every bit of that. So, with Bobby Babich taking over the linebackers, you saw the improvement in Tremaine Edmonds. You saw the improvement, obviously, the all-pro nod that Matt Milano got. So altogether, this Babich in his role with the linebackers is going to be big. So Dorian Williams, you got Baylen Specter, you got Terrell Bernard. I mean, substitute teacher Terrell Bernard. Mr. Bernard. Yeah, you got Terrell Bernard in the building. And listen, man, it's gonna be a massive year. This is a big year for a lot of people. It's a year of development. It's a year of development for a lot of these guys. And it's a year to, you know what I mean, to prove yourself. It's a prove a year for a lot of these players. And I think that's why I figure that this year is a big year. It's not so much because we finished 13-3, and how could we talk about like this is a bounce back year? It's not really such a bounce back year because of like we were terrible on offense. This is more of a bounce back year because there's so many guys that's got to bounce back in terms of showing what they got in the second year, right? I need to see a bounce back year from Spencer Brown. I want to see a bounce back year from, and I don't want to say a bounce back because it's not really a bounce back, but I want to see a big year, second year for James Cook, right? I want to see a bounce back year for Gabe Davis. Although he had a great statistical season, I just feel like, you know what I mean? I want him to really hold on to that number two spot. I want to see what Khalil Shakir is going to do in year two. You know what I mean? I want to see Boogie bash him. Boogie, show me something. Are you going to, you were the second round draft pick. Are you going to leap the depths and show us what you got in the absence of Von Miller? Right? Those are the things I'm talking about, right? Like, look, I was just alluding to the cornerback spot. Christian Benford, Kyer Elam, like Dane Jackson, Trey White, bounce back year. I mean, there's so many, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde. Like, a lot of these players are returning for a big bounce back year. So, and that's the way I'm looking at it. I need a big bounce back year from this whole squad so we can get back to thumping on these dudes, man. That's what it comes down to. Like, I don't like that we were in it with a lot of these teams last year. You know what I'm saying? Just getting by. No, I want to stomp these guys out, man. I really want that. Boy, do we have some competition. But that, I need to see a Boogie Basham really come into his third year and, yo, show me what you got. I need that. Because you have an opportunity. There's an opening for you to show yourself with Von Miller still, you know what I mean, recovering. And even in Von Miller's case, it's a bounce back year for Von Miller. Von Miller is going to be coming back to finish his year with Buffalo full from, you know what I mean, whenever the hell he starts, right to the end of the season when we really need him in crunch time. We missed the presence of Von Miller last year, and there was no one there to fill the void. So this is where AJ Epenesa, Boogie Basham, all those cats got to jump in and show me what they got. This is a big bounce back year. And this is what I mean by bounce back. I hope you guys are not thinking like, we won 13 games. And no, it's not about that. It's not about the record. It's about certain individuals on the squad that's got to show us something, right? And that week 9 matchup against the Bengals, bounce back, man. That's a big year for us to bounce back. We need that, 100%. But other than that, in OTAs, a lot of people are just talking the same old mess, right? We're just going to get back to it. We just want to, you know, do good things. You know what I'm saying? We're getting back to it, blah, 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 blah. OTAs. You know what I'm saying? But this guy's looking pretty good. I mean, listen, I take everything that Micah High says going forward when it comes to talking about another player, grain of salt. You know why I say that? Because right now he was talking about, yo, Terrell Bernard, you know what I'm saying? The linebacking crew looking good, blah, blah, blah. You know who he said specifically last year that was going to have a good year, and you better watch out for this guy because, like, if you won't miss a beat when, and you got to do this for your teammates. You got to ride for your teammates. But Jaquan Johnson, which is no longer on the team, he was talking about Jaquan Johnson's going to be that dude. And I'll speak for myself. I bought the hype. I said, oh, shit, y'all better watch out for Jaquan Johnson. Man, Jaquan Johnson got in the game when Micah High got hurt. And I think he played 2 games. And they said, yeah, you done. You're done, bro. In the words of my daughter, she said that. She was like, Dad, you're done. You know what? That's exactly what they did. Oh, my God, Jaquan Johnson. They played him in that Miami Heat. Shit, you got me talking about Miami Heat. The Miami Dolphins game. They said, you're done, sir. How'd you go? Out you go. But anyway, I digress. So, folks, that's it for me, man. Yo, you got me laughing on Jaquan Johnson because, yo, that's what, Micah had me thinking that Jaquan Johnson was going to be that dude, that piece out of Florida. Watch out. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we'll see, man. Micah had also said that he's looking forward to intercepting Aaron Rodgers. That's his good buddy. But when they get on the field, it ain't going to be the love that you normally get. I guess. We'll see. But it's pretty cool. I kind of felt some type of way a little bit, but then I understood it because this, you're, and I'm going to tell you why I'm about to say. He's like, I have a case, and I've got intercepted football from Pat Mahomes, and I got intercepted football from Tom Brady. I felt some type of way about that. And then I thought to myself, like, yeah, that makes sense. Because when you're done and you can look back 10 years from now, right? You're gonna be like, yo, I played against some of the best quarterbacks ever. Pat Mahomes is gonna be one of those guys. The guy's just legit. Tom Brady's already he's probably the GOAT, you know what I'm saying? And it wouldn't surprise me if Pat Mahomes, you know what I'm saying, comes in there and you know what I mean, challenges that. Because he's looking really good right now, as of right now. So we'll see how that plays out. But I was feeling some type of way, but I was like, no, man, that's an homage to great players. You know what I'm saying? And you're playing with one right now in Josh Allen. So you better grab a jersey. You better grab something, you know what I'm saying, when it's all said and done. But yeah, man. So Aaron Rodgers is just be another one. And you know Aaron Rodgers is going to give you one. You're going to take that. So you're going to have a third football in your mantle, in your case. So we'll go from there. Anyway, so that's it for me for OTAs, folks. Much appreciated. You guys always show love. Listen, give us some credit, folks. And I'm not saying give us some love, but give us some credit. It's hard to come up with some content around this time of year, but we're trying. We're trying to bring y'all some good stuff. And I appreciate you guys tuning in and watching. It's really encouraging to the content creator that, you know what I mean, you guys are here to rock it with us. Love it. Much appreciated. For those that are asking how I'm doing, because if you guys are, I mean, you guys probably wouldn't pay attention to that, but in Canada right now, and more specifically in Nova Scotia, where I'm living now, there's forest fires like crazy. And to this day, they're still out of control. And I'm about from where it is, because the province is not a very big province, first and foremost. So the province is, I think we got like a million in this province. No, actually, just a million in Halifax. There's a good chunk. There's about a minute, probably 1.5 million, maybe two at most. Anyway, so this fire is about 40-minute drive from where I'm at. So it's come to the point now, and I'm getting updates like crazy on my phone. If you guys have ever been to Nova Scotia, it's windy. It is windy. So that it's hard to put that fire out, and it's massive. You've got two fires right now going that's out of control. And they've got water bombers. I think that's what they call them, water bombers, in and trying to get this thing going. It's just not stopping. It's rolling. And to the point where I just woke up from, because I got to go to work soon. I just woke up and wifey's like, yo, the smoke is actually getting close. Like, we can actually smell the smoke in the air. So now that's starting to get a little crazy. And they're starting to evacuate places that are like about 25 minutes away. Right. So it's starting to get a little scary a little bit. I mean, I've never been in a situation like that before. So apparently out west, there's things that happen like this all the time. You guys, I mean, for those that are in these areas that have these forest fires and so on and so forth, it happens. But anyway, hopefully, you know what I'm saying, these things settle down. We're hoping for some rain that'll calm it down a little bit, but it is what it is, man. So if you guys are out there, send some love, send some prayers our way. So, you know, things can get calmed down a little bit. And because some people have lost some valuable things, man, lost some homes. They've had to let the livestock, horses are, and I kid you not, horses are running wild everywhere. You'll be driving, there goes a horse. So it's kind of sad at the same time, because like the person that had this livestock was, I mean, obviously they didn't want their pets to be sacrificed, so they still let them out. So like it's craziness. It's right. I've never seen anything like this, but it's pretty nutty. But we are here doing what we got to do. I mean, everybody's trying to roll with what they got to roll with. Some people we've actually invited some friends of the wife. They're like, because they've been evacuated. So they'll come through, hang out, do what you got to do, and then we'll go from there. So hopefully it subsides. It's about a half hour, give or take now. I think it's getting a little closer. So they got to calm that thing down. But anyway, that's the update with that Nova Scotia fire right now. But it's not stopping. So if you hear, oh, yeah, they've calmed it down. No, man, that thing is still rolling. And the way it started was a brush fire. There's a fire ban that was on, and I guess somebody was burning their... I didn't know people do this, right? And I guess it's for people that live in big land, where you don't... I thought if you do a fire, you kind of, you know, have it... I mean, what do you call that? Contained, if you will. But apparently, y'all, people just burn their brush just on the ground, just like that. And a wind caught it, and that's how it started. On one end, and then some kids were burning tires in the forest, and then boom, so two fires started. It's just weird, just very strange. But anyway, all depending on the wind. If the wind dies down, maybe we can get that, but the wind here is just craziness. It's just, it blows heavy here. So that's the update. I just wanted to give you guys the update and give you guys the update on what's going on, and I'll keep you guys updated. And we'll go from there, man. But yeah, these guys, apparently these brush fires, it wasn't controlled. They just burned them around the ground, nothing around it, not caved in by brick or anything. Just let them go. So, and that's pretty much what happened, man. So that's the update. And for those asking for updates on my back is a little better. Still crap, but we're still trying to, you know, working through that. My man Richard Ford comes in and says, yo, that's not good for Rico. Hope everything goes well for you, man. Get them fires put out, man. People burn stuff all the time. Yeah, I've seen fire jump from side of the highway to another. So here's the big thing. So it was on one side of the highway, and they said it jumped the highway. I don't know what the heck that terminology means by jump the highway, but it jumped the highway. And now it just started on one side. So it's like, it's craziness. I had guys come into work. I was like, what is that smell? And he came from that area because he lives in that area, but he's on the other side of the highway. So his whole truck and himself smelled like that. I was like, golly, craziness, man. So yeah, the air is starting to fill with smoke. So hopefully it subsides and we get it under control. But here we are, folks. So guys, that's it for me. If you guys enjoyed the show, do me a favor, smash that like. And if there's any content that you guys would like us to hit, if we have not hit on this topic, if we haven't hit on something that you would like us to touch on, let me know. If you want player interviews, and if you're looking at one specific player that you want to try to get to, give me your suggestions, and we're gonna try to work on that as these OTAs go through and all that good stuff. But this is where it's at, folks. So listen, man, jump in. Buffalo Fanatics is on Twitter. And my man will retweet anyone who tweets hashtag remember who we have. My man P Money says, listen, he will retweet that. So hop on Twitter right now and you put in at Buffalo Fanatics and you put hashtag remember who we have. You will get retweeted. We've got an account of 40,000 folks. So there's a lot of eyes that are going to be on that. So jump on there and show some love to my man P Money. Cause he loves to reminisce and remember who we have. But guess what? A lot of the guys that we have to have bounce backs. We need that. Yeah, we remember Jordan Poirier. We remember Micah Hyde. We remember Trey White. We remember those guys. But we remember what they used to be a couple years back. Now, a year removed, Jordan Poirier was a little banged up. We need to see the bounce back. So we want to remember who we have, but they need to bring it. Bring it this year and bring it back so we can whoop some ass this year. But at the same time, I like it. Remember who we have because we ain't no scrubs. We got a squad on our hands. So that being said, folks, that's it for me. Enjoy the rest of your evening. And folks, enjoy yourselves. And we'll catch you guys on the flip side. Until next time, it's your boy Rico. And I'm gone. Let's go.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.